But good morning, and I'm so glad to be here talking about what I love the most, and that is, in my years of ministry, I have never left children's ministry. I've done missions, youth, teens, you know, junior high, college, young marrieds, but my heart has always been with children's ministry. And so I am so glad when I'm looking out here that there are many of you without gray hair, okay? I think we're about half and half, and I'm happy to see that because we're ready to bring on another generation of the work that we're doing. And if they don't come along, just like Sally said earlier, we're going to keep on going. You know, if that door stays open to me, if I have breath to breathe, I'm going to continue to do this. So let's just get started. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we are going to be focusing in on verse 58. So if you have your highlighter or pen and you underline it on the way out, if you'll show one of the leaders, they're going to get an extra $5 for underlining it. Now, if you memorize it and you say it at the door, we're going to give you another $5, okay? Now, do any of your churches use Bible bucks? I mean, I never did until I came to Cottonwood, and so they reward the kids with these Bible bucks, and then there is a whole room, a store, if you will, dedicated to redeeming those Bible bucks. And so in my day, when I got started at 23 of leading a class, you know, my shopping would be to go get pencils and erasers, and that was my method of rewarding kids for doing their Bible study, coming and sharing their verse. Here, you get a pencil. What kid today is excited about getting a pencil? I mean, you know, the days of me going to orientaltradingcompany.com and buying gifts to give away to kids, that just doesn't cut it anymore with kids. And so I'm glad that, you know, I've learned to be abased and I know how to abound, you know, because I'm at a church that said, here's your budget for the Bible bookstore. And it was quite large. And so now I'm buying Lego kits. Let me tell you, those kids are eager to turn in their Bible bucks, say their verse, turn in their Bible study, because now they get little Lego sets. But back in my day, not so much. Well, not just back in my day, it's still my day today. But we're just using Bible bucks. So a little bit more of my bio history again, and that is that Pastor John Atkinson and I served together well over 10 years. I was able to be their children's Sunday school teacher, several of them. Their oldest, I was able to take on missions trips. And so, you know, I don't have as much as gray hair because the dye is working and that sort of a thing. But I've been doing this for a while, and let me tell you, you know, how many of you are just excited to continue to be and privileged to work with children? It's just the place to be. You know, when I met my wife and we met in children's ministry, I'll give you a quick little story here. I knew my wife's sister for years because I was running a college-age group at our church. And so we went on a ski trip, and while we're on that ski trip, my wife's sister, Tina, says, you know, my sister's just graduating from high school, and she needs to get involved in ministry. And I said, great, I need a Sunday school helper. So when we got back from the ski trip, I met her, and I said, your sister told me to come see you because you're going to be my helper. I didn't ask. I just said you would be. And so she goes home and says, her sister, who is this guy that, you know, came up to me and said I would be his helper? And so I did give her notice when I met her at church. I said, I'll come get you when I'm ready, and it'll be about a month. So I did. I said, Lisa, are you ready? And she said, yes, you know. And so she became my third grade Sunday school helper. And it was in that class where Rebecca was in, Sally's daughter. And so that's where the journey began with her in children's ministry, because she's been alongside of me now going on 32 years this year. And she's been doing children's ministry the whole time as well. And by the way, yes, after saying yes to being my Sunday school helper, she said yes 10 months later to marrying me, okay? So anyway, that's how we then became a couple. And then when John and Sally were doing release time education, they asked us if we would lead a class, and we said yes. And so we spent a couple of years at Mark Twain Elementary, and from time to time, John would call up and say, hey, could you fill in here at this school or that school? And we did. And so are all of you release time education teachers, or just some of you? Just some of you here. Okay, if you don't know what that ministry is, outside of a church, to be involved in children's ministry is a great thing. Because I'll tell you, Lisa and I were so excited one year when we had this young girl come in whose parents filled out the form, the flyer, and it's religious education. Parents, for whatever reason, I think mainly because if they're not churched families, they feel guilty for not giving their children a religious education. So they said, oh good, the school's providing one for you. And so we got this little Sikh Indian girl, meaning of the Sikh religion. And you know, it's, I believe, the fifth largest religion in the world. And she would come faithfully. So we were able to show who Jesus was to her. Whether that impacted her later or not, some of the rewards we get in serving in children's ministry, we won't know until we get on the other side of heaven, that's for sure. But to know that we would get little kids who were of different religions, no religions, and we loved that we would get some Christian kids whose parents knew all about it, because we'd springboard off of those children. It was a healthy peer pressure. And so that was the joy of it all. But I'll tell you, we had plenty of years involved with that parachurch, you know, nonprofit ministry that to this day I know. Oh, I do have a story. We were at Vaughn's in the shopping center getting some groceries. And a woman, this was just 2 years ago, came up to my wife, and she says, you used to teach my son at release time education. And she gave a little bio. He was already in his 20s, you know. But it was really a blessing to see that, you know, years later. And we won't always get to see the fruit. Even those of us who are doing children's ministry in a church, we may not get to see that. But when we do, it's just a little nugget. And we can just be excited to just know that those seeds we're planting, They're growing. We may not see them, but they're there. Well, today it's going to be an impact for all of us, because we're here to hear from so many people who have already been in the harvest field for years, and they're experienced and they're committed to the work and the labor of opening up young hearts and minds to the message of Jesus Christ. And these workshops, as I was working around and seeing what they're going to be on topic about, they're just great. One that's really cool, the Matronos, what is it, missionaries? You're going to be talking about missionaries. I think it's so important to put in front of children the vision of who they can be and what they can be and how God can use them, you know, moving forward. And so those great stories of mission field work. One of the kids that I worked with since ninth grade, she's been living, she started her ministry in the Ukraine, and now she's in Moldova. She's got three kids, and she lives there to this day with her husband, and they're doing ministry in Moldova, all from just years ago doing work. She went to Calvary Chapel Downey High School, and that's where they've been. And so it's pretty exciting to see the impact of what you do. And there's so much experience here. You are just blessed to hear from the different workshops of people who have not been at it. If you looked at their bio, not 10, not 20, 30, 40 years of touching kids' lives. And so that's what we have to look forward to. From those great ministries, Awana, Child Evangelism Fellowship, His Club, Yeah, Kids Bible Club, Good News Bible Club. I know when I did children's ministry with my wife Lisa, we used a format called Pioneer Clubs, and we just loved it. And so you get the chance to just glean from all this here today, just a one-day conference. But let me give you another bio of my childhood age. You know, as it was told earlier, you know, the pastor was impacted in third grade by a Sunday school teacher. Well, my parents got divorced in fourth grade. Up until fourth grade, we were going to Catholic school. I went to first, second, third grade in Catholic school. But when my parents divorced, my dad decided to pull us out of Catholic school. And his sister was going to a church. And he says, well, I'm going to send the kids to that church. Well, it just so happened it was Westminster Four Square Church over there off of Beach Boulevard in Westminster. And it's there a 10-year-old boy in fourth grade was led to the Lord, and that was me. And I can tell you, my Sunday school teacher's name was Barbara Bollinger, and her sister taught fifth grade, Arlene Atkinson. And let me tell you, if you're in front of kids, you are making a lifelong impression on them. I remember learning my first Bible verse when I was 10 years old. So every Sunday when I get in front of my kids, I tell them that they're capable of hiding God's word in their life forever. Because when I tell them I'm 60, they say, yeah, that is forever, you know. And so I know that they can do that. And I tell them, you know, every week I always put a challenge out for them. And again, because I do this Bible Buck Award thing, I said, who in here can tell me my first memory verse I ever learned? And there's always about a dozen kids, because I do this check with them every so often. And then I ask them, who in here can quote it? And then I'll get about another half dozen kids who can do that. And it's Joshua 1:9. Anybody have that committed? I'm ready to give you some Bible bucks here, okay? Yes, Joshua 1:9. And I learned it as a 10-year-old in fourth grade, coming out of Catholic school. I knew about the fear of God. The nuns taught me the fear of God real well when I was little. From the ruler on the knuckles to the smack on the back of the head, you know. In those days, there were different rules for teaching. And so, I knew the fear of God, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. That wasn't understood until 10th grade, and it can be understood even younger than that. But just so that you know, you have a lifelong impact that'll last for generations. And here I am today getting the privilege, opening up the Bible in front of you and telling you about God's word, all because of the faithfulness of Barbara Bollinger. So, what has been working in children look like over the decades? Well, I remember when I moved out of working with toddlers to working with first grade. And mind you, someone said it earlier, our prayer time. Lord, use us even though we're unqualified because we don't have experience. I'm wondering how many of you, if you have degrees in childhood education, you know, bachelor's or master's. I have none of that. I think I have a handful of college credits until I dropped out, okay? Maybe I'm not even credited with those because I didn't finish any college. But God has called those who are available, right? And so if you're available, God will empower you with His Holy Spirit to do this work. So I get started in children's ministry with the tools that were available back in the late 80s, you know, 86, 87, 88. And so I would go to the resource closet and I would try and get the felt characters for my felt board lesson. Wouldn't you know it, one of the other teachers has got the characters I want. And then another teacher's got them. And so I'm like, I don't have them. So I went ahead and invested in my own roll of felt board characters. Any of you in here using felt? Or have you used felt boards before? I loved it, and I would spend hours in my front room because I thought when I bought them that they would already come pre-cut out, you know, in Ziploc envelopes. Not so. I've got a lot of hours invested in my felt board character cutouts and then bagging them per character lesson too. That didn't last very long because I needed to borrow from the different bags, and so I messed up my felt collection. But that's what my decades looks like, using felt boards. Now, today, you know, because I go to Cottonwood Church, you know, I've been going there for about 10 years now. And, you know, we always say before and after, you know, BC and AD, what are we going to do with this crazy virus? Because before the virus, there was about 10,000 people attending that church, and we had like 6 adult services. Now we're down to 2, you know, and if that's your impact, I know that there's a workshop on that. So make sure you can attend that and scheduling your day. But anyway, I don't use felt boards anymore, haven't for quite a while. But now, in my one room that I use for teaching our kids, I have 4 television screens, 4 TVs in one room. Don't forget, like Paul, I learned to be abased and I learned to abound. Well, I just so happen to be in the abounding years right now with a Bible bookstore, with screens and TVs. But I don't forget, and I appreciate the days of printing out my overhead projector screen slides, you know, trying to line them up, you know, I got them backwards, zoom in, zoom out, that kind of thing. But all of you are here to get equipped with tools that you can use in your environment. Release Time Education, we would borrow a room from a local church, go to a local house, and in some cases, all we had was a local park. So rain day schedules was really hard to work on when you were pulling a child out of a public school system and you had them for an hour. Well, Lisa and I would just take them to the local park that was available. We would get there in advance, lay out the blankets, kind of give it a picnic feel, and you used what you could. Going back and looking at the different resources, when I used to go on missions trips to the dump in Tijuana, we would just create a little VBS out there in the middle of nowhere. When I'd go to missions trips way up in Farmington, New Mexico, with a Calvary Chapel that we would team up there with, we would set up tables out in the parking lot and do a VBS just on the spot. So all of you have different levels of resources, from very little to an abundance. But wherever you're at, today's workshops are going to give you the creativity to use whatever environment you have, whatever teaching materials you have. So take advantage of that, and I'm so glad that those classes are back and available this year. So that was my experience of working with children's ministry, and it takes us just right into this verse. So let's take a look at that in your Bible here. Here is Paul addressing the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, like today during our prayer time just before we got together, some of the people that were speakers got together, and one of those prayers and topics was about the culture that we live in today, the environment that exists today. But there's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon would say, because the Corinthian church was enduring horrible, immoral, you know, persecuting type of environments. There were separatists who were just saying, you know, the way is causing a problem, the way of Jesus. You know, the Jews were causing a problem, and just so much pushback on us trying to present the gospel. Well, Paul's experiencing that. He's given so far 15 chapters of instructions in regards to that. And so he writes here at the end of chapter 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." And you know, me being brought up in a Calvary Chapel for over 20 years, I loved that no matter where I would go on a Sunday, on vacation, when I moved to East Anaheim, going to East Anaheim Calvary Chapel, when I'd go up north and visit my friends up at Applegate who were attending that church, wherever it would be, the teaching type was the same. And so I loved it when every pastor would say, we have to look what the therefore is there for. And so if I were to do that, it would take us all the way back to chapter 1, the way Paul writes, because there's several therefores throughout the scripture and the run-on sentences style that he would use. But I am going to take you back to at least 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:1, because he starts the chapter the way that he ends the chapter, and he says, in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, and by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." So go all the way back to 58. Here it is. He's using kind of that same wording, in which you hold fast, being steadfast. But what I like what he says here is, "Therefore, my beloved brethren." What I like about this kind of conference is it's inviting the whole body of Christ, whether it be somebody like me from Cottonwood, the heavy Calvary Chapel presence, because we're at a Calvary Chapel church, but it's all these other churches that are being like-minded, that are having one mind, and that is to get the gospel to children. Whether it be through release time, whether it would be in the own classroom that God has called you to, whether it's an outside ministry. Who's going to Santa Monica Pier this Sunday? One of the ministries are going to go out and do some open-air preaching. It's just all different kinds of methods, but to reach the people with the good news of the gospel. And so with that in mind, as we looked back at this whole book in 1 Corinthians, it's so full of scripture. If you go back and you look, Paul says on several occasions, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. And what was he doing? He was declaring and preaching. Now, many of you are just gifted orators. You are systematically good teachers. But Paul did both. In his preaching, he was teaching. And what a great crossover he had to do both. Me, you know, I'm a little bit of both. I'm mixed up in a little bit of both, but I'm not very good. I was one time invited with Pastor Ray Comfort to go out and preach on the pier at Huntington. I got up there, and then the heckling that I got and everything, I couldn't take it. I was crushed. I said, I'm never doing that again. I'm going to leave that to Ray Comfort. But I did find my sweet spot. You know, every one of us find that place, our comfort zone. Mine was, you know, release time education, going into the mission field, doing VBSs in a classroom. And so that's where I've landed. That's where I've planted myself. And God has been faithful to equip me to do this type of work. But here, let's go back, and I just want to break down this this last verse and the different words. These are challenging words for each one of us to look at. And so as we look at these words, let's go back and just do a little refreshing of what he says. Beloved brethren, that's the community. That's us gathering together in this room. We all have our different methods. We all have our different curriculum that we might use. But here's the thing, all of us together are in agreement. Do we want our kids to know Jesus? Do we want to display the love of Jesus to them? I mean, you probably aren't, I'm probably not the only one that my curriculum's blown up. I've gotten totally lost, and I'm thinking, well, today, you know what? I'm going to play with these kids. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to ask them about themselves. Hey, John, why is your name John? Who gave you that name? You know, I'd ask a little girl, hey, Claudia, where did you get those shoes? I really like those shoes. And you know, you're building them up. Wow, I like the way you do your hair. That is great. You know, and then they leave there thinking, somebody paid attention to me. Somebody loved me. When they're little, I don't want to stand. Listen to this voice. It's too intimidating. So I got to get down there and think, try and talk in an indoor voice. Well, I don't have an indoor voice. It's the same voice. So, you know, I have to do something else. I have to bring my wife over here. You know, I think I've shocked this little girl here. So, you know, that's what happens with our curriculum. I mean, you prepare and you plan, and then it just blows up. Some leaders don't show up. Your props that you thought were going to work don't work. And so that's what happens. Let me go back to a story to you. Pioneer Clubs, back in 1992, my wife and I are teaching these kids, and the booklet says, for preparation, we're going to do an illustration with candles. And I said, Lisa, we're going to make candles. And I said, I'll get everything. So she shows up, and I'm ready to go. So we start the class. We're going to do the illustration. I bring in a hot plate, you know, one of those electric ones that you can plug in. Who gets to bring in a hot plate to a classroom these days? Nobody, but I did. And so I bring the thing that's going to melt the wax to make candles. So in my thinking, in my intellect, I think crayons are made out of wax. I'm going to melt crayons to make candles. So I did, and I just got a bunch of crayons because in the resource closet, they had plenty of crayons. So I get them, and I start melting them all together. The problem is the red, the green, and the black, when the wax was melting, we're going to have a lot of black candles because it's just turning to black. And then when I tried to pour it, it didn't work well. How was I supposed to know they put more than just wax in candles and that the colors aren't going to stay the same? So that whole thing blew up. So I never did bring a hot plate back or ever plan to make candles again. And so on to other ways of reaching. But here's the thing. Beloved brethren, be steadfast. So that I knew what to do. I knew how to stay steadfast in the ministry. And that is, another way of staying steadfast is being firm in your allegiance. All of you here today, just build yourself up and say, I am going to stick with what God has called me to do. Many of you probably are not called and haven't been at it 30, 40 years. Maybe you're here exploring the thought, or maybe you're here. I put people on three levels when I'm thinking, how do I lead this person? Are you volunteering because you see a need, because you saw one teacher with 20 people and you think, poor teacher, okay, I can help, you know. I'll do bathroom runs. And that's how we rope you in. Could you just help go to the bathroom? And then the next week, could you just do the memory verse? Could you just do? And then we've hooked them. They're in. Either that or they never come back, you know. But here's the thing, you want to affirm allegiance, and so you stay steadfast. You know, whether this season of service is on your faith journey, you're like, you know, I'm saved, I've been coming to church, and now I'm wanting to serve, so the first place I'll try is children's ministry. Or maybe you're more than just exploring, you're filling a need, that's the next level. Or even more so, and what we pray for is that you're sensing this is your calling, and you'll be doing this until God calls you home. That's always exciting too. But we in children's ministry take you at whatever level you're at. We check your pulse, you're good to go, you know. That's right. So, with that, the workshops here, you're going to have more than just a pulse when you leave today. They're going to equip you with a firm understanding of what labor many of us have been doing for decades. So, get notes, take notes, write these things down, and you are going to leave here just with a firmer allegiance. You're going to have a steadfastness about you. Now let's go to this next word. He wants us to be steadfast, Paul says. He wants us to be immovable. What is trying to move you from being what Paul says he wants you to be immovable about? Were people telling them that there was no resurrection in those days? They were trying to move people away. Were the Jews trying to say he's preaching the wrong God? They were trying to move Paul from that. Even the people who were saying the right thing, the sorcerer girl who was making a profit of being a fortune teller, she was a slave girl. And the owners were saying, follow Paul. And she was irritating Paul for days because she was saying to everybody there, hey, these people are preaching the gospel. They're preaching the gospel. But she was more of a distraction. So What's trying to distract us from preaching? Now, here's the thing. In Virginia, they're struggling, and maybe other places too, with a teaching curriculum in the public schools, CRT. Wherever you land on it, one way or the other, we know it's divisive. But that's not going to distract the believer from teaching and preaching what God has put on us to preach and teach, you know. Today, you know, is there a girls' bathroom and a boys' bathroom? Is it gender neutrality and all these kind of things? In the midst of all that, you and I are going to be immovable. We are going to just be incapable of being moved from what we know is going to make real difference in their lives. We're going to give our kids Jesus. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to be, even though we're part of the cancel culture, they want to cancel us, that's for sure. And we're going to stay immovable on these things. Like I said, Paul was mocked for preaching the resurrection. If we look a few chapters and read the story of the Corinthian church, that's what happened. Like I said to you in Acts 16, it tells about the story of the girl that was harassing him. Have we had riots in the last several years? Well, so did Paul. In Acts 19, it talks about the riots in Ephesus. So all these things, we're going to stay steadfast. We're going to stay immovable. And so here's the thing. Paul was doing all these things in the midst of all that, and yet he was reaching people. Paul was the hands of God doing the work, because here we use the word work. And you know, I've done work. I haven't been in full-time ministry my whole life. I'm back in full-time ministry now. But there were times for me, the need to provide for my family had me doing logistic operations. And I'm good at it. God gave me an ability to understand it, but I didn't like it, you know. And yet, it was a work that had to be done. Here, Paul uses the word work, and he uses it throughout Corinthians, because this is a work. I love it when I run into people that say, I love my job. And I'm just go, I wish I could be you. Well, I am that now. I love my job now. At Cottonwood Church, I'm over the first through fifth grade. They're giving me a green light to create the curriculum I want, to start a baptism class, to do parent development and training. There are so many things that I get to do, and I just love it. Maybe you don't get to be in full-time ministry, and you have to do that cruddy job outside of this. But then when that ugly work is done, you get to do the work that you love to do, the work of the ministry. So be encouraged. Equip yourself today. It's free training. It's like getting your forklift certificate, you know, today. You are going to be approved and to do the work that you've been called to do. Just being one more thing on immovable. John and I, we would take the church van from here and drive it all the way past Mazatlan, Mexico. Several days of driving, again, back in the early 90s. And as we're going down there, we have the van loaded with all kinds of things, from clothes to literature to Bibles. But the one prized possession that we knew we were going to use, our main tool, was the Jesus film. So we had a generator back there too. Well, as we would come to these checkpoints, these one corrupt federale checkpoints, they made us empty out our whole van. And what they were after was the generator. They were going to keep us there and not let us go forward until we gave them the generator. And John says to me, I'm not going to give them a dime. And if you knew John, if he was firm about something, you knew. So here goes the first hour of standing around, second hour. And we're just sitting there at a checkpoint because they're not letting us move forward. So, you know, I was going through my personal study time reading a book of Nehemiah. So, you know, in those days when it was cool to wear a hip pack, I had a hip pack, you know. And so the guys, the federales, they come up to me and, what's in your hip pack? So I open it up and there's my book on Nehemiah. And I said, this is the book of Nehemiah. He was a servant of God and what he did. And so I began to preach to them. And finally they just went, get out of here, pack your van and go. We were immovable about what God had called us to do. We were supposed to go and share the Jesus film, and we needed that generator to do it. We made it to where we were supposed to be, and we did just that. Be immovable in whatever God is calling you to do. You know, you're steadfast, you're immovable, and now here's the next point here, and that is always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding, continually. Like I said, if you look around here and you get a chance during lunchtime, talk to some of these people here that are doing the workshops. You would think they've done it their whole lives. They've done it so long, and they're always abounding. There are so many stories, I'm sure, in here of what it meant. I remember there was this one little child. I remember when we did this outreach. I remember when we had this VBS. I remember when God used our curriculum when we got it off the ground. There's so many of those things because we want to always be abounding. In other words, don't stop. Just continue. Another good word is always abounding is thriving. My wife is now subscribing to these foods that get delivered to the home. It's called Thrive, and it's just some good stuff in those boxes when they again. Kaiser uses that word, thrive, when you see their commercials on TV. I like that word because it's just motivating. It's, you know, it's got some energy behind it. So always thrive in what God is putting before you, the kind of work that he's putting before you. And here's the description of the work. It's not driving a forklift. It's not moving tile. It says, therefore, always abounding in the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord. So there would be those days when I would be driving a forklift and like, this is no fun, this is boring, it's mundane, I do this every day. And then God tells me, whatever your hands find to do, do it as unto the Lord. Okay, attitude adjustment, okay, I'll keep driving the forklift. I've been here 1 hour, it seems like I've been here all day. I got 7 more hours of doing this, but I will do it as unto you, Lord. That's the kind of heart we want to have as we move forward. All right, now, how does that mean? Thriving in the work of the Lord, keeping yourself current, keeping yourself fresh. I am the teacher, but I am going to be taught today. I'm anxious. I want to go sit in that mission story class because I want to keep myself relevant to what we're doing today here. So, again, some of us don't always get to see the fruit of this. Abounding in the work of the Lord, the labor of the Lord. Those are some heavy-duty words there for us to look at and ponder. Am I laboring? Am I working? Am I thriving? You know, am I abounding? And how long am I supposed to abound? For the rest of your lives, you know? And so, I'll tell you about this pulpit here, always abounding. We're not always going to get to see the fruit of our labor. But if you know who the pastor of this church is, it was Pastor John, and he handed the leadership over to Brandon Pilyavin. I started teaching Brandon when he was in sixth grade. I was his junior high leader. I was his high school leader. I was his outreach leader. We went on missions trips together. And you don't always get to see that. But when you do, man, it pumps you up to say, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because I'm abounding and I'm thriving in what God has called me to do. Just like that missionary girl that's living in Moldova, Teresa, she was in my youth group ministry. Even if they're not in what we call full-time ministry, there's Kelly Jones. She's a Christian school teacher in Gilbert, Arizona. She was one of those kids that I had when she was in fourth grade. And so we are going to make an impact on the kingdom of God. We just will. But we have to continue to be immovable, steadfast. I want to close with this. What does your work look like? What does your labor look like right now? Is it of the Lord and is it in the Lord? Because that's what it says, the kind of work. Let's read it again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Of the Lord, in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. So use all these words. They're meant to motivate you. If you read through chapter 16 of Corinthians, Paul goes on to say, do it with love. And I love what I'm doing. And not just what I'm doing, I love these kids genuinely. I love that the Lord loves them and he's using me as that vessel to communicate that love. You know, I'm 60 years old now and I feel like I'm in a new season. I'm in the same harvest field, but I've got a rejuvenated labor. I've got a new plow in my hands and I'm not looking back. It's a different field, but I'm going to plow this field just as I plowed those fields when I was 22, 23. I need a hip replacement now so I don't move as fast, but I'm still moving forward. I haven't stopped and I'm not going backwards. I have a friend who's motivating me to do this, and his name is Ron Hill. Ron Hill goes to Calvary Baptist Church up the street here. He started teaching children's ministry over 45 years ago. He's 82 now. He lives in Lake Elsinore, and every Sunday he drives to Calvary Baptist to teach third, fourth, and fifth graders. Not only that, when he's done at 12 o'clock when service is out, he waits for an hour and a half, and then he goes over here down to the street to the Chateau Senior Citizens Active Elderly Home, and he's been preaching there for over 45 years as well. Here's a man that I model, and I say, I'm going to follow him as he follows Christ, because I've got, at minimum, another 25 years of children's ministry left in me, with or without a bad hip. But I think I'm getting a new one in a couple of months here. Let me pray for you guys. Father, I thank you for all the faces that I'm looking out here, Lord. Many of them are at different times and stages and seasons in their life, but they're wanting to jump into the harvest field, Lord. And so equip them, give them the tools with all the teaching that they're going to hear today, Lord. May they be equipped. May they be ready. May they be full of a steadfast, immovable heart, Lord. I thank you that I can say, like Paul, my beloved brethren. So send them forth, empower them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.